This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way, who follow his sunnah until the last day. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today, brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, I want to share with you a very important lecture, a very important talk about trials and tribulations. As you know, in life we go through many different types of tests, trials, challenges. We go through distress, we go through anxiety, we go through depression, we go through grief, we go through misfortunes, okay, of many varying types. So what is the Islamic stance? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say in the sunnah? Now I'm going to begin with a verse from Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, okay, which is the opening of the 29th juz' of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, blessed be he who has the kingdom in his hand. Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah azza wa jal has power over all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat. The one who created death and life, al-mawta wal-hayata, liyabluwakum. This is the word that we want here. This is the operative word for this lecture. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test which of you is best in actions. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 29th chapter of the Quran, in the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. ألف لام ميم. These are al-muqatta'at. These are some chapters in the Quran. They begin with Yasin, Alif, Lam, Mim, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Sad, etc. Qaf, Noon. Allahu A'lam as to the meaning of these letters. Okay? Allahu A'lam. The scholars, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't give us any interpretation of these letters. Now, then the surah says, Allah says, Do people think that they will be left alone because they say, we believe? Do you think that just because you say, amanna, I am a mu'min, I am a believer, do you think that that's it? You're not going to be tested? You're not going to be trialed? Okay? That you will not be tested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we indeed tested those who were before them. And he says, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. So with these tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with, a person knows whether he's true in his iman. It will know who are the true ones. Who are the ones who will continue with their belief. Who are the ones who are going to deviate. Just because they've been now struck with a calamity. And we find this in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, the 11th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. That there are some people, they worship Allah right on the edge. Right on the edge. عَلَى حَرْف. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If good befalls him, whenever something good happens to him, he is happy with it. اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انقلب على وجهه خسر الدنيا والآخرة. Listen to this. But if a trial befalls him, this person who worships Allah on the edge, if a trial befalls him, he reverts to his former ways. He goes back to his bad ways. And what happens? Consequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He loses both the dunya and the akhirah in the hereafter, the life after. He loses both worlds. So this is something that we need to make a note of, inshallah ta'ala. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we must understand and we must remember that life is filled with trials, with challenges, with hardships. Okay? Now, what the Arabic word for these is ibtila. Okay? And some of these trials can be very, very difficult, and some not so difficult. I'll give you some examples of the trials that I'm talking about. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you a child, bless you with a child, but that child is ill. Or that child is a very naughty child. Or that child is very challenging. That child has a deficiency in one way or another. Or maybe having some sort of, you know, problem. So again, it could be a child. It could be a difficult spouse. You could have a difficult wife. You could have a difficult husband. Okay? You could have a sickness. This sickness may be temporary. This sickness may be chronic. You've got it all the time. This sickness may be terminal. Some people like cancer. This is a trial. Sometimes we have people are poor. You know, poverty. Or, for example, you lose a loved one. Somebody that's dear to you. Could be a family member. Could be a relative. You know, could be a friend. They die. This is a trial. This is something which is very, very difficult to deal with. It could be a divorce. You could be going through a very bad breakup and marriage breakdown, a divorce. It could be that you lose your job. It could be that you lose a prized possession, something that's really dear to you, you lose it. It could be that imprisonment. You could be wrongfully imprisoned. So as you can hear, the challenges in life are many. You don't know where they're going to come from. But we're going to see also that trials are not only in the form of losses, but even your gains and even your health and even your wealth and even all the beautiful things that you do have, they in them, in and of themselves, could be a trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be testing you with them. So we are facing many, many types of trials. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is telling us it's a test. This world that we live in, brothers and sisters in Islam, it's really just, we're just passing by, it's a transitory life. We are in this life only for a short period of time. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, between 60 and 70 most, you know, of my ummah will live, and some will pass or surpass the age of 70. So we need to always remember this, that really, yani, especially when you're getting close to that age, when you're getting close to 60, you know, really, you need to get your act together, the older that you are getting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In Surah Al-Kahf, you know, this beautiful surah that we are supposed to read every Jumu'ah, sunnah to read it every Jumu'ah, Surah Al-Kahf. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we made everything on earth adornment for it. Allah has adorned this earth, right? So that we could test them to see whose actions are best. Whose actions are best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said earlier, trials us according to this ayah. He adorns things, He gives us things. So sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you may have a blessing. You may have a ni'mah, a blessing. But that blessing really is not a blessing. Okay? It looks like a blessing. The outside of it, it's closed. Okay? It's encapsulated with beauty and adornment. And it looks really nice to you and appealing to you. And it looks very positive. But in actual fact, it's a blessing in disguise. Okay? So it's actually not good for you. So you might have all of this wealth, but guess what? Yes, you're rich. You've got money. Alhamdulillah. But guess what? The fact that you have this money, it's leading you astray. It's making you buy haram things, invest in haram ways. You're spending all of your time, you are not praying, you're not maybe doing your duties, you're delaying hajj, because you're too busy, you're too worried about safekeeping and looking after your wealth. So is now your wealth a blessing? No, it's not a blessing anymore. It's actually a trial and it's a test. Likewise, so therefore my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, some people, it befits them to be wealthy. Being wealthy might keep them, inshallah, keep them يعني, on the straight path. Some people, it befits them to be poor. Because if they were rich, they'll be misguided. Some people, it befits them, it is better for them to be sick. If they were in good health, they would not remember Allah. And some people, vice versa. Some people, if they are in good health, okay, they may... as I was saying, vice versa. If they are sick, it might be better for them. If they are good in good health, that might be better for them. So we don't know how the trials come and where they come from. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً." That we test you with both evil and good as a trial. So both are trials from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. I want to move on, inshallah ta'ala, and talk about some of the trials and the tribulations, the ibtila of the people of the past. Of the people of the past. And I would like to share with you, I know how much you love stories. I want to share with you a story from amongst the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Once upon a time. I know you like that phrase. Once upon a time. We all like that phrase. Okay, because it reminds us of our, you know, young child, you know, childhood years, you know, once upon a time. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really is doing that. He's telling us about the people of the past. He tells us all the time, and there's many stories. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll share many of those stories in the future with you. But the story that I want to share with you is a story about a leper, okay, and a bold man, and a blind man. This is a true story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated to us, and its origins are in Bukhari and Muslim, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Now here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's narrating to us from amongst the Banu Israel, from amongst the children of Israel, Banu Israel, a leper. Now who's a leper? A leper is a person who has a skin disease. He has a very bad case, a severe case of skin disease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends this leper an angel, a malak. He sends him an angel, and He says to him, you know, what is it that, you know, what thing do you like most? He said, I want to have a good color. I would love to have good skin, because the people have a strong aversion. The people, they have a strong aversion to me. They want to always, you know, keep away from me. So the angel touched him. The angel touched him, and he was cured, and he was given good color, and he was given good skin. Okay? And as a bonus, the angel said, what type of wealth would you like? What type of wealth would you like? And he said, I would like to have some camels. I would like to have some camels. So he gave him a she camel, because that way she can give birth to other camels. He gave him a she camel, and he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah bless this camel for you. May Allah bless. He made the dua to bless the camel. Then the angel came to the bald-headed man, and he said, what thing would you like the most? He said, I would like to, you know, have some hair and be cured of this. I would like to have this. The people feel, you know, people look at me in a strange way. You have this repulsion to me. So the angel, يعني, he touched him and he was cured, and he was given good hair. And he said, what type of wealth would you like? He said, I would like to have some cows. So he gave him a pregnant cow. He gave him a pregnant camel, the first one. This one is giving him a pregnant cow. And he said, may Allah bless it for you. Then he comes to who? Who are we up to now? The blind man. And the blind man, asked the same thing. What thing would you like? He said, I would like for my eyesight, you know, for my eyesight to be restored, so that I may see the people. Jazakallah khair. So that I may see the people. So then he said, okay, he touched his eyesight and he gave him back his eyesight. He said, what wealth would you like? He said, I would like to have sheep. So then he gave him a pregnant sheep. And afterwards, all the three pregnant animals, they gave birth to the young ones, until each one of these people, okay, they had a valley of these animals. Each one of them had a herd of camels, the other one had a herd of cows, the other one had a flock of sheep. Okay, so much wealth. Then the test time came about. Now the test is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives you this, he's going to see what are you going to do with this wealth. Okay, so then the angel, he came in a disguise this time. He came disguised in the shape of a leper. He comes as a leper to who? To the one who used to be, a leper. And he said, look, I'm a poor man. He said, I'm a poor man who has lost all of his means of livelihood while I was on a journey. And no one's going to be able to satisfy my need except Allah and then you. So I put my dependence on Allah, but I'm also coming to you for some help. And in the name, he said, in the name of him, in other words, in the name of Allah, who has given you such nice color and beautiful skin, huh? And beautiful skin and so much property, I ask you to give me a camel. I ask you to give me a camel so that I may reach my destination. So what did this ex-leper, he said? He said, I have many obligations. I have many obligations. I can't give you one. And the angel said, hold on, were you not a leper from before? Didn't you used to be also a leper and the people had a strong aversion to? Weren't you a poor man and Allah gave you all of this? He goes, no. That's not me. You've got it wrong. I'm not that person. I got this property through my forefathers. I inherited all of this. So this is what happens. Many people, they don't acknowledge the ni'mah that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving them. He said, no. And so then the angel said, if you are telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before. And subhanAllah, it's not like he was asking him for 20 or 30 or 40 camels. One camel. But look at how mankind can be so greedy. Mankind is so greedy. Okay? Then he comes in the shape of, the angel comes in the shape and the disguise of a bold man. Okay? And he comes up to the ex-bold. Okay, and he says to him the same thing that he said to the ex-leper, and he says, and they both say exactly the same response, just so I can shorten the story for you and get to the point. And then he says, if you are telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before. And subhanAllah, look, subhanAllah, how when a sick person, listen to this, when a sick person, if somebody is sick, He is willing or she is willing to spend all of their wealth for the sake of being better, right? Wouldn't you agree with me? If you had a serious illness and it required all of you, even if you had a minor illness or something that's really bothering you, wouldn't you spend pretty much all of your wealth, okay, just to get better? You would, okay? But to come and spend 1%, okay, of that wealth, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the problem. This is the disease in itself. And so the angel now comes in the disguise. He's coming to who now? Make sure you're keeping up with the story. To the blind man. He comes in the form of a blind man. And he says to him, I'm a poor man. I'm a traveler. I've lost all means. You know, I put my trust in Allah and then you. And I ask you by the one who has given you your beautiful eyesight to give me a sheep that will help me, so I can complete my journey. Now listen to the response of the blind man. The blind man, he said, no doubt I was blind. He acknowledged that he used to be blind. He didn't forget that. And Allah gave me back my eyesight. Allah gave me back my eyesight. And I was poor. And Allah made me rich. Allah made me rich. Because everything that you have, everything that I have, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take anything you wish from my property. Anything you want, take it. By Allah, wallahi. He said, wallahi, I will not stop you from taking anything that you need from my property, which you take for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. He had yaqeen, he had tawakkul, he had reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that a lot of us lack. We don't have yaqeen. We are too dependent on the system. We are too dependent on people. We are too dependent on others. We need to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Abbas, he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And when you seek help and aid, you seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we say in our salat, no less than 17 times a day. إِيَّاكَ نَعَبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. نَسْتَعِينَ means that we seek your help. We seek your i'ana, your help, your aid, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the angel said to him, keep your property with you. Keep your property with you. He said, you, in other words, you three men, you have been tested and Allah is pleased with you and He is angry with your two companions. And the hadith, as I said, is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So we need to always remember to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called shukr. Shukr, when you praise and you thank Allah for what He has given you. And there is a reward for shukr. There is a recompense just for you saying thank you to Allah. Allah will give you more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And when your Lord announced, if you are grateful, if you do shukr, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I'm going to give you more. The more you praise Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you thank Him and you acknowledge the favors that He has bestowed upon you, He will give you ziyadah. He will give you what? He will give you an increase. But it's up to me, it's up to you to always say, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. This is from the amongst the words and the phrases that Muslims should always moisten their tongues with. Alhamdulillah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, everything in life can act either for you or it can act against you. Everything. You think about anything in life, any concept, anything could be for you or it could be against you except for one thing. And that is Iman. Iman can never work against you. Iman, true faith, belief, having the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can never work against you. It can always be working for you. But apart from that, we need to remember that any seemingly blessing can not actually be a blessing, and it actually can be something which works against you. Now, we have... when we look at the people of the past, and we look at the prophets specifically, we see that they were tested. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the stories of the prophets in the Quran, the stories of, and parts of the stories of some 25 prophets and messengers as mentioned in the Quran. Right? Why is Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning these stories? Just so we can enjoy those stories? There are lessons to be deduced. There are morals that we need to take heed of. Okay? And from amongst them we have, for example, Sulaiman. Sulaiman, Prophet Sulaiman. And his wealth was a form of ni'mah. When he saw the throne of Bilqis, the queen of Saba, the queen of Sheba, brought before him, what did he say? He said, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. He said, this is from the fadl, this is from the favor or the grace of my Lord. Listen to what he said next. Listen to his words. Very wise. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي. لِيَبْلُوَنِي بَلَاء. Ibtila. لِيَبْلُوَنِي is to test. To test me. That's the e part. لِيَبْلُوَنِي, to test me. أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Ashkuru am akfur. Am I going to be grateful? Am I going to say Alhamdulillah and thank you and acknowledge Allah Azza wa Jal? Or am I going to commit kufr? Now kufr here is ingratitude. Kufr here, or I'm going to be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we have the wealth. That's what Sulaiman said. But look, let's look at the comparison now of Sulaiman to Qarun. You know of Qarun? Qarun and his 250 followers, okay, are the ones who rose in rebellion against Musa and Harun. Moses and Aaron, Musa and Harun. He had so much wealth, and he was given so much treasures that the keys alone, okay, the keys to the treasure, the key to get to the treasure, required 9 men to hold a key. 9 men just to hold the key to the treasures. So can you imagine how much treasure he must have had? So despite all of this treasures that Allah has given him, he never acknowledged Allah Azza wa Jal. Never acknowledged Allah Azza wa Jal. Actually, he did the opposite. He gloated. Okay? He gloated and he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He said that I have only been given it because of knowledge that I have. All of this, in other words, he was being arrogant. He's saying, I got all of this wealth on my own merit, because of my own skills, because of my own knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. You know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him? Aywa. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the earth open up and swallow him up and his treasures. And his home, they were swallowed up into the earth. So this is what happened to Qarun. So we need to continually always express our gratitude. Now when I said before, you say Alhamdulillah, but is that enough? No. When I say gratitude, when we say expressing your thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal, it means you express your thanks and your gratitude with your tongue, by praising Allah, remembering Allah, reading Quran, dhikr, okay, with your limbs. Huh? Salat, sadaqah, hajj, umrah. This is expressing your gratitude with your heart. Sincerity, ikhlas, and tawakkul, and yaqeen, and love of Allah, and fear of Allah, and hating all the things that Allah Azza wa Jal hates. This is the ways that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on also from amongst the trials of the people of the past, we have Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. But before we go into Prophet Nuh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith in Bukhari, he said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ ابْتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلَ فَالْأَمْثَلَ. He said, the people that receive the most severe trials and tribulations are the anbiya, are the prophets of Allah, and then the like and the like. So the closer you follow in the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of the prophets of the past, because we are also required to follow all the teachings of all the prophets, except where there is, of course, a nasakh, where there is an abrogation through the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So the people that receive the most trials are the prophets, then the like. Okay? So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. And the best of creation were trialed and were tested. Nuh alayhi salam, his da'wah, he's calling people to La ilaha illallah, was for 950 years. That's not, some scholars said he actually lived longer than 950 years, but his da'wah was for 950 years. The Quran says 1,000 less 50. Okay? And yet, how many followers did he have? He only had a handful of followers that were enough to go onto an ark or a ship or a boat. That was it. In 950 years. So there are going to be challenges in da'wah, in inviting people to Islam. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, as you know, he had an illness that lasted 18 years. And the people would be again turning away from him and running away from him. Ayyub, 18 years. Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Joseph. Yusuf alayhi salam, how was he trialed? He was trialed with the envy of his brothers towards him. He was thrown into a well. He was sold as a slave. He had so much beauty that a woman wanted to seduce him. Imra'atul Aziz, the wife of Al-Aziz. And on top of all of this, he spends some eight years in jail. Trial after trial after trial. He's a Nabi. He's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet what about Khalilullah, the best friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam? How was he trialed? He was thrown into a fire. He had yaqeen in tawakkul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. The fire ended up being cool. and being peaceful on Ibrahim. Yunus alayhi salam, Prophet Jonah, how was he trialed? He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a big fish, of a whale. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, with the children of Israel, you know that every type of evil present in their society, they had. To the extent, that's why so many prophets were sent to Banu Israel. So many prophets and messengers were sent to the children of Israel. And then we have the trials and tribulations of the best man who ever walked on the face of this earth, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We forget how quickly we forget about his trials. His trials, how do they start? From beginning to end, his life was filled with trials and tribulations. He grows up as what? As an orphan. Doesn't get to see his dad. His mother, she dies when he's some 6 years old. His grandfather dies a couple of years later. His uncle dies. Look what's happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loses Khadija, his beloved wife. Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. He loses his children, 3 sons, Abdullah and Al-Qasim and Ibrahim. All of them die. Rocks are thrown at him until he bleeds. He's choked by the infidels, by the kuffar. Uqba ibn Mu'id until Abu Bakr, you know, comes and he rescues him. The placenta of a camel is placed on his back while he's praying. And then Fatima radiallahu anha, she removes the placenta of his back. He has to migrate from his place of birth, from Mecca. He's in Mecca living there. He has to now leave Mecca for 13 years to go to Medina. He's trialed with envy. He's trialed with jealousy. He's called names. He's called a madman. He's called a magician. He's called a poet. He's called all sorts of names. And he was trialed even from the very beginning of the revelation. Remember Iqra? Remember when the angel grabbed him and he was scared and he went to Khadija, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. And then when he is dying, he's trialed and he's going through immense pain. And he's saying, Inna lil mawti la sakarat. That indeed death has its pangs, death has its hardships or its throes. The throes of death are strong, are hard. So we need to remember these trials and tribulations of the people of the past, especially the trials and tribulations of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then there's the Sahaba, Bilal and Uthman and Umar and Khabbab ibn al-Arat, and the list goes on. So don't think that you are alone in your trial or in your tribulation or in your hardship or in your challenge. We are all challenged in one way or another. But the challenges are different. The challenges are different. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let's move on inshallah ta'ala to the next part, and that is, why does Allah Azza wa Jal, why does Allah trial us? What is the hikmah? Is there a wisdom? Is there a wisdom behind these trials and tribulations? And in Islam, alhamdulillah, Islam gives us some of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested us. From amongst the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests us, is to test our faith, to test our iman. As I read earlier in the verses in Surah Al-Ankabut, to test which of you is truthful and which of you are the ones who are non-truthful. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّ وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. People think just because they say I believe, that's it. This is really, when you say I believe, this is when the test is going to come. You see, when you embrace Islam, and this is addressing, you know, non-Muslims or reverts or converts. Okay, when as soon as they embrace Islam, what happens? Sometimes their family stands against them. They ostracize them. They turn against them. So they turn against their own, yani their own family members want to abandon them. So yes, it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from amongst the reasons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us so we can, for self-assessment of our iman, to gauge, to be able to work out where is our iman. Okay, how strong is our iman? Iman is not a word that we simply verbalize. It's not something that we say, I'm a mu'min, I'm a believer. That's not sufficient. Al-imanu ma waqara fil qalb. Iman is what enters and penetrates the heart, permeates, spreads in the heart. Okay? Al-imanu ma waqara fil qalbi wa saddaqahu al-amal. And is proved by actions. Your actions. And we often hear many people, subhanAllah, they say they're going through a hard time. You say to them, are you praying? They go, well, I'm going through a hard time. Now, you should be praying if you're going through a hard time. They abandon, they turn back. This is what happens. They turn back on the deen. They turn their backs on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they're going through a hard time. They think that they're going to be able to work it out by themselves. And once they've worked it all out, then they'll get back on track. Wallahi, these people are fooling themselves. Because tawfiq and success only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, one of the great pious predecessors, he said, for as long as people are in a good state or are in good being, they are hidden from their real Islamic characters. And if they are sent some sort of trouble and misfortune, their real character can be seen. Their real Muslim character can be seen. The believer will reveal his belief and the hypocrite will reveal his hypocrisy. So we actually get these trials is a good gauge of where our iman is. So when you go through a hardship, do you say alhamdulillah? Are you patient? Are you the one that turns to Allah? Or do you turn your back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number three, trials and afflictions from Allah serve as a wake up call, as a reminder, and as a wake up call and a reminder. They uncover the reality of this life. They remind you and I that this life is only the enjoyment of deception. The enjoyment of deception. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mata'u al-ghurur. This is the reality of life. However, how quickly we forget. And then comes, we think, you know, everything's going good. And then comes a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to remind us, to get back on track. So a lot of the calamities that we see, whether it's tsunamis, whether it's earthquakes, whether it's floods, whether it's droughts, these are a wake-up call to remind us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the ulama have mentioned. Number four, another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put us through trials and tribulations, that one of the wisdoms is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala targets His Muslim servants with trials to cleanse them of the sins. It's a form of purification and detoxifying you of your sins. When you go through hardships, when you go through stress, and this is why in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in hadith found in Tirmidhi, he said, a Muslim, male or female, continues to remain under trial in respect of his life, in respect of his property, in respect of his offspring, till he or she faces Allah the Exalted in a state that he or she has no sin on their record. So it purifies you. In another hadith, the hadith of Sa'd al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Sa'id al-Khudri, and also the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no fatigue, no tiredness. And he said, no disease, no sorrow, no sadness, no hurt, no distress, that befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn. You know, the thorn that pricks you. It can happen very quickly, very minute. Huh? But Allah expiates some of his sins for that. That is enough. When you're going through that stress, that hardship, that challenge, know that Allah is rewarding you as long as you are patient. As long as you are patient, you have sabr. And you don't act in a way that is showing unacceptance of this in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, from amongst all also the reasons that have been mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's trials are a sign of Allah's love. They're a sign that Allah loves you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in Bukhari, he said, whenever Allah wills good for a person, He subjects him to an adversity. He gives him a hardship. So this is something that we need to remember, inshallah ta'ala. So these bitter hardships that we face in our everyday lives, sometimes they're acting like medicine. They're actually medicine. Now you know medicine. Most medicines, they don't have a good taste. You know, people don't like to take medicine. And, you know, especially children, you know. You give them medicine, they want to quickly spit it out. It's uncomfortable. It might actually have some side effects sometimes. It might put you through some side effect just to make you better. And these are the challenges. They're like medicine. These are the trials and tribulations that we receive. That we don't necessarily like them, but they are there to reform us. They are there to purify us. They are there to detoxify us, as I mentioned earlier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us this to purify us of our sins. Also, what are some types of trials we are likely to encounter? This is the next part that I want to talk about, is what are some types of trials that we are likely to encounter. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Qur'an, in verse 155, He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ Listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us in no uncertain terms that, and certainly we shall test you with a certain amount of fear. A certain amount of fear. Hunger, loss of wealth, lives and crops. Now, let's analyze this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are going to test you with regards to something of fear. In other words, not complete fear, however, aspects of the fear. And this is because if you live a life with complete fear, this can be fatal and can be destructive. Imagine you were always very, very fearful. But Allah, He puts you only, He trials you with aspects of al-khawf, which is the fear. Now, this could be here, the meaning of fear is the loss of peace and security, which is actually greater than hunger, and that's why He mentioned it before hunger. He mentioned it before hunger. And this is, now we go on to the next one, and He says fear, He has some aspects of fear, and He says hunger, which is the next one. Hunger. Types of tribulations, hunger. Now hunger here can have two meanings. Listen to this. Hunger can have two meanings. The first type is a sickness whereby a person would eat and eat great portions, yet he still feels he's hungry. That's a trial. People may go through this, and actually, as one of our scholars, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, it actually happened in the history of Saudi Arabia one year, where the people actually referred to this year as the year of hunger, or they would eat, they still felt hungry. And this is what we have. People just eating, just binge eating. You know, today we have a problem with, you know, obesity and people being fat, okay, overeating. And alhamdulillah, again, Islam teaches us how to control this and how to prevent this. You know, the hadith that you eat a third, you know, you fill your stomach with a third for food and a third for water or fluids and a third for air. The second type of hunger is one which is like a famine, where there's not enough food, not enough, and because of poverty and what have you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says loss of wealth, which is another trial. And loss of wealth could be at a community level, which could be like a recession. Or it could be on an individual level, such as being poor. Loss of lives. In other words, death. Again, this could be in such a way whereby a person dies here, a person dies there on an individual level. Or it could be on a community level whereby people die in large numbers. It could be a flood, it could be an earthquake, it could be a tsunami, it could be many different ways where multiples of people die all at once. Okay? It could be a plague. a disease might enter a house and it affects all the family members and they all die. It's something that happened in the past as well. Now, also, when it comes to the loss of someone, it's very important that we understand what did the Prophet ﷺ, what does Islam, what does the Quran and Sunnah say about when you lose someone? Because inevitably, we are all going to lose a loved one. So what can we do to make sure that we remain sane, we remain firm, we remain steadfast, we don't lose the plot. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, for example, in Hadith found Bukhari, he said that Allah says, so it's a Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, I have nothing to give but paradise as a reward to my believer slave, who if I cause his dear friend or relative to die, and he remains patient, and he hopes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward. So if your family friend dies, your relative dies, and you remain patient, Allah blesses you with Jannah. And yet in another hadith which is found in Musnad Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also informs us that Allah says to his angels, after they take away the life of the child of his servant, he says, you have taken away the delight of his heart. And so the angels say, yes. Then Allah says, what did my servant say? What did my abd, what did my servant say? And so the angels reply, he continued to praise you. He continued to say, Alhamdulillah. Allah then says to his angels, build for my servant a house in Jannah and call it the house of praise. A special house for this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, control you in many different ways. He control you with sickness and illness. Like I said earlier, it could be temporary, it could be chronic, could be terminal, could be, that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control a person with imprisonment, as happened to Yusuf and many of our great scholars of the past. Allah control you with your very children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ, that indeed your wealth and your awlad, your children, fitna, are a trial. They are a trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control you in the community that you live in. Your community might be a difficult community to deal with. Right? But Allah wants you to be patient with them and not to go away from your Muslim community. He wants you to be patient. And in one hadith found in Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi, which is sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu an-nas, the mu'min, the believer, who intermingles or mixes with the people, وَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ, and is patient with regards to their offensive actions, their adha, their harm, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطَ النَّاسِ, that person is better than the believer who does not mix with the people. وَلَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ وَلَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ, and who is not patient regarding their adha, their harm. So these are some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us trials and tribulations. Move on to the next point, inshallah ta'ala. What is the mother of reasons behind our misfortunes? What is the mother of reasons? Now, it could be purely as a test and a trial, but in most cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will trial us as a result of our sins and our shortcomings towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and neglecting the Quran, neglecting the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or engaging in bid'ah, engaging in heretical acts, innovation, or being preoccupied with each other's shortcomings and talking about others. This is all what leads to many different types of trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa of the Quran, verse 79, he says, وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ, that whatever of sayyi'ah, of evil that befalls you is from your own self. It's from your own self. So this is something, and elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That corruption has appeared in both the land and in the sea because of what people's own hands have brought about, so that they may taste some of what they have done, so that hopefully they will turn back. One of the great scholars, Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Sirin is known for interpreting dream interpretation. He's a great scholar and one of the tabi'een. And he was given a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was trialed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said when he received this trial, he said, I have been waiting for it for 40 years. I've been waiting for it for 40 years because this is a sin that I committed 40 years ago, and I was waiting for the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to punish me as a result of that sin. Look at how they thought. So the punishment may not be straight away, because as the saying goes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْهِلُ وَلَا يُهْمِلُ. Allah delays but does not neglect. So this is something that we have to remember, inshaAllah. So let's keep away from sins. Sins are destructive in many, many ways. They destroy your memory. They lead to poor memory. As Imam al-Shafi'i, he says, I complained to Waqi', and Waqi' is one of his teachers. He says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وقال اعلم بان العلم نور ونور الله لا يؤتاه عاصي. He said, I complained to Waqi' about my poor memory, and he said, know that ilm is light, is the light of Allah, and the light of Allah is not given to a disobedient person. You want to be successful in your studies, you want to be successful memorizing Quran, memorizing hadith, memorizing dua, then we need to make sure we keep away from sins, inshallah ta'ala. Now, we move on, inshallah ta'ala, to the last part of this presentation, inshallah ta'ala, and that is, what is the cure? What is the medicine? Okay? How does the ideal Muslim deal with trials and tribulations? So we begin, inshallah ta'ala, by saying that the remedy, the cure is, number one, to have the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The correct aqidah, the correct iman. Especially in al-qada' wal-qadr. As Muslims, we believe in al-qada' wal-qadr. Divine destiny. That is, Allah azza wa jal has decreed whatever is to happen to us, it has been decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Allah wrote it down. Allah commanded for it to be written down. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yes, me and you, we still need to play our role. We still need to do what is known al-akhdhu bil-asbab. That is, to take the actions, to do what is required of us. And then the results, the outcome is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we need to remember. We need to remember that wealth is divided. Sickness is divided. Good health is divided. And everything in life is divided. Not everybody is good health. Not everybody is poor. Not everybody is ill. So we need to remember to accept the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we can submit to the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes things a lot more easier for us. We say alhamdulillah. So the next remedy is sabr, to have patience. And yes, patience can be a bitter cup, a bitter drink, but we need to be strong and we need to take it like medicine. We need to have sabr. And this is why sabr is mentioned in more than 90 places in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the state of a mu'min, of a believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ. That everything for a believer is khayr. And that is for none other than a believer. If he is blessed with good, he thanks Allah. And he will be rewarded for his thanks. And if a misfortune befalls him, and he keeps patient, he will be rewarded for it. This is the case of a believer. Remember this hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that whoever remains patient, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. If you practice patience, you become patient. So you have to take the action of being patient. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. And then he goes on, صلى الله عليه وسلم, in his hadith found in Bukhari, and he says that nobody can be given a blessing better and greater than patience. One of the best blessings to have is sabr. So you work on your patience, inshallah ta'ala. And remember that patience is always required at the first instance, at the first shock. The Prophet ﷺ said to that lady who was grieving for her son at the grave, and the Prophet ﷺ said to her to be patient, and then she comes to his door, not after having told the Prophet ﷺ to go, and she didn't recognize him. She comes to his door, and she wants to apologize, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't recognize you. I didn't know that it was you giving me this advice. He says to her, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عند الصدمة الأولى. That patience is required at the first instance of the shock. Okay, and we have many, many stories of patience of those who came before, and the reward and the compensation of being patient, such as Sulaim. Sulaim, one of the female companions, and this is a hadith from Bukhari Muslim, her husband was Abu Talha. Abu Talha is her husband, and one of her children is ill. One of her children is ill. And during the absence of Abu Talha, the child dies. And when he comes back inquiring about his son, she wasn't jumping up and down and hysterically. He asked about his son, and she said, he is better than before. He is better than before. Then she placed the evening meal for him, and he ate. And they had marital relations. Thereafter, she broke the news to him in a very novel manner, saying, arrange for the burial for the boy. Just like that. And Abu Talha, subhanAllah, he was he was a bit shocked at this. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, were you together last night? Were you intimate with your wife last night? And he said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh Allah, bless their new baby for them. Bless the child that they will have. And thereafter, she has a boy. She delivers a boy. That boy grows up. He gets married. And he has 9 sons, all of them who have memorized the Quran. So look at how things can happen. وَعَسَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You may dislike something, you may hate something, but it's good for you. And he says, عَسَى أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. You may like something, but it's actually shar. It may be evil for you, it might not be good for you. This is why you have to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you, has destined for you. Say alhamdulillah. So some of our pious predecessors, they said, if you are overcome by a misfortune and you are patient, then you only have one misfortune. However, if you encounter a misfortune and you are not patient, then you have actually got 2 misfortunes: the loss of that which you loved and the loss of the reward you could have gained for enduring patiently. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, the strong person is not the one who is able to wrestle his adversary to the ground, like the wrestler. That's not the strong person. But the strong person is the one who is able to control his anger. to control himself in a time of hardship. Number three from amongst the ways of dealing with trials and tribulations is remembering the reward that you will gain. Remembering that you will gain the reward, as I mentioned in the hadith earlier, even if you are pricked by a thorn. And remember also that your trial could have been worse. Imagine your trial, especially if we're talking to Muslims, imagine you were not a Muslim. That's worse. So this is something to remember, as Umar used to do, whenever he used to be trialed, okay, he would remember yani, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. That Allah did not trial him in his religion. That it wasn't greater than that, and that he wasn't deprived of being patient. And that he thinks of the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Another remedy is dua. Now when it comes to dua, there is preventative dua, and then there is a curative dua, or a protective dua, and a remedial dua. Okay, so for example, if you don't want to go through too many hardships in your life, and too many challenges, then there is a dua that you can make in the morning and in the evening. Okay? So for example, there is the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal ajzi wal kasal. Huh? So this is a dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal ajzi wal kasal. Wa a'udhu bika minal hammi wal hazan. Anxiety and sorrow, wal ajzi wal kasal, and weakness and laziness, okay, and miserliness, wal jubni wal bukhl. Wal jubni is to be a coward, and bukhl is to be stingy. Wa ghalabati ad-dayn, or dala' ad-dayn, the burden of debts, wa ghalabati ar-rijal, and from being overpowered by others. So when you make this dua, you ask Allah to protect you from these things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wal-ajzi wal-kasal, wal-jubni wal-bukhl, wa-dala' al-dayni, wa-ghalabat al-rijal, wa-qahri al-rijal. There are different narrations, but you can find this in Fortress of the Muslim. Okay? A very important dua to say every morning, and every evening, after Fajr and after Maghrib. And also, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before, for example, the taslim, before you say assalamu alaykum in your salah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabi jahannam, wa min azabil qabr, wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. Okay, and including in this dua is from the trials of life and death. So this is ensuring that you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from even before these trials from happening. So this is what we mean by prevention is better than the cure. Always try and prevent these things from happening. Don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to trial you. You know, you don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put you through these hardships. And then if you are trialed and you are going through a hard time, there is a beautiful dua that I want to share with you. You don't need to take, if you're going through anxiety and stress and hardship and misfortunes, you don't have to go to take, you know, antidepressants and pills and medication. As many people do straight away, they want to go to these type of pills, which is actually one of the third highest selling drugs in the world, medicines in the world are antidepressants. So spare your money, spare your health with this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this dua is found in, we can find it in the Fortress of the Muslim, roughly around page 140. Page 140, a very important dua. And it goes like this. Allahumma inni abduka, ibnu abdika, ibnu amatik. That, oh Allah, I am your slave, the son of your slave, the son of your maid slave. Nasiyati biyadik. Nasiyati biyadik. My forelock is in your hand. Madin fiya hukmuk. Your command over me is forever executed. Adlun fiya qada'uk. And your decree over me is just. Whatever you decree is just. It's fair. As'aluka. I ask you. As'aluka. بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ. I ask you by every name that belongs to you. Every name, every beautiful name of Allah. I ask you about every one of those names that belongs to you. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. I ask you by every name belonging to you that you have mentioned, that you have named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you might, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you. This is why we say there's more than 99 names of Allah. There are some names that He has preserved with Him. أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. That you, after all of this introduction and the praise of Allah and acknowledgement of His names and asking Him about all of His names, that you make the Qur'an the life of my heart, the spring of my heart, Rabi'a Qalbi, and a departure for my sorrow and release of my anxiety. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever says this, whoever is afflicted with anxiety or sorrow and recites his dua, Allah will release him from his grief and sorrow and give him relief and ease. You want more than these words? This is the prophetic cure. We should always be turning to the medicine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll quickly go through. There are many other du'as that you can also say. For example, Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. Allah is my Lord. Allah is my Rabb. I associate no partners with Him. Say this a lot when you are going through hardships. Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. And there are others, as I said, but we're getting caught up for time, inshallah ta'ala. Also, whenever you see somebody is going through a hardship or through a challenge or has a disability, you say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma btalahu fihi wa faddalani ala kathirin min man khalaqa tafdila. So you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protected you, or who gave you good health, or who gave you good things. Alhamdulillah alladhi aafani mimma btalahu fihi, from that which He has trialed that person with. And He has preferred me over many others. To the end of the dua. This is a dua that you can also find, that what to say when you see someone who is afflicted with a calamity. Look that one up. What to say if you see someone afflicted with a trial, a tribulation, or a calamity. Also from amongst the medicine, looking at what Allah has given you as to what He has taken from you. Okay? So, look at what Allah has given you, not what only Allah has taken from you. This is very, very important and a very good way of dealing with your losses. Okay? One of the pious predecessors, Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, he had a disease, gangrene, or what they call a gangrenous disease in his foot. And he had to have his foot amputated. They amputated his foot. And the next day, and then he kept on saying, "Oh Allah, to you belongs all praise. You may have taken away from me, but you have also left me with something." And he kept on saying that. The next day, a female mule kicked his most beloved son to him, which led to the death of his son. So he's lost his foot, and now he's lost his son. And Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, you know, he had yaqeen and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He kept on saying, "Ya Allah, to you belongs all praise. You have taken away from me, but you have also left me with something." And when he was asked about this, they said, "What do you mean? You know, you kept on saying, oh Allah, you've taken, but you give me." He said, "I used to have four limbs, you know, two hands and two legs, two arms and two legs. And Allah took away one leg, He's kept me with three." You look at the positive. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "I used to have seven children. And Allah took away one, He's kept me with six." So you can always look at things from a different perspective. It's up to you. Most of the time, in dealing with our misfortunes and our losses, it's mind over matter. It's allowing for your mind, okay, to think about things and reflect and look at things from a different perspective. The Prophet ﷺ, he actually said, look at those who are in a less position to you, in a lesser position to you, or maybe inferior to your position, and don't look at those who are in a better position. He said, for this will enable you to appreciate the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't always look at what he has got or she's got. It's better health, better money, better living standards. No. Look at those who don't have. You are better than many others. You have something that many others don't have. Okay? From amongst the ways of dealing with it, dealing with your hardships, is total dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from amongst the ways is to complicate the... to contemplate the worst case scenarios. And this is a technique used by psychiatrists. And the Prophet said, you can always look at how it could have been much, much worse. How things could have been much worse. Or what, you know, this is a way of dealing with misfortunes and hardships. Looking also at how to transform your trials into and your losses into gains and into profits. Okay? Looking at the fact that, for example, as I said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it might be that you dislike something, okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, there might be a lot of khayr in that thing. A lot of khayr in that thing, as we find in Surah An-Nisa, verse 19. Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, he was imprisoned unjustly, only to come out an even more accomplished scholar. So his imprisonment was better for him. He became out a more accomplished scholar, and his works are widespread today. Imam As-Salkhasi was kept as a prisoner at the bottom of a deserted well, and he managed therein to produce 20 volumes on fiqh, on Islamic jurisprudence. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi was banished from al-Baghdad. And, you know, many scholars that were treated harshly, only to come out stronger and better. There was a lady, she was afflicted with her, she had an injury on her finger, okay, and she kept on praising Allah and going about in a very happy way, wasn't sad. And she said, the sweetness of its reward, made me forget about the bitterness of its pain. So when you, see again, when you think about the reward, the pain, inshallah ta'ala, is lessened. If you're going through hardships, turn to salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was troubled by something, he would flee to the salat. He wouldn't flee to, you know, medicine and to the internet or to, you know, they have these things. But they, you know, not like these days. Many of us, when we have these difficult times, we want to straight away go to a doctor and straight away want to, we go to flee to the salat and flee to dua. You know, there is nothing wrong in seeking medicinal, herbs and prophetic medicine. There is a book called Prophetic Medicine. You can resort to that. Traditional medicine, contemporary medicine. All of this is allowed, of course, to also not keep a blind eye to that. Also, consulting. If you're going through hardships, consult the scholars. Consult people who have taqwa, who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consult them. Do istishara. Okay. Ask them how maybe they can, how to deal with, how you can deal with your challenge and with your hardship. And for those who are also going through trials and tribulations, I want to recommend some books. One of the best books I've read and come across in dealing with hardships and distress and anxiety, stress, is a book that is called Don't Be Sad. That's the name of the book, Don't Be Sad. A very good book to give as a gift if you know somebody is not well. You can even download it on the internet, online. Okay, look it up, Don't Be Sad. It's by A'ad al-Qardi. It's a very motivating and uplifting book. Also, there's a book that's called Islam's Treatment for Anxiety by Shaykh al-Munajjid. There's another book called Grief and Depression by Dr. Abdullah Al-Khatir. Another book called Patience and Gratitude by Ibn Al-Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. And there's a book called Overcoming Trials and Tribulations by Ruqayya Abdullah. Many books that you can read, inshallah ta'ala, and benefit from. Lastly, be optimistic. Be optimistic. Always be optimistic. Even in the eye of a storm, always put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you through with this. And know that after every hardship, there comes ease. after every hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. That there will always be ease after hardship, inshallah. Be optimistic. Look for the light at the end of the tunnel. And remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you should know that victory comes with patience and relief comes after distress. And that with every hardship there is also ease. And don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't see the trials of the Muslims today, the many different trials and tribulations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that neither slumber, okay, nor sleep overtake him. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يفرج هموم المسلمين وأن يشفي مرضاهم وأن يفك أسراهم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Muslims wherever they may be in the world, to cure their sick, to relieve them of their distresses, their anxiety and their hardships. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.